Well, hey, as I said, to remind you guys that are new, my name is Harrison Ross, and I am so excited to just dig in this year, to dig through God's Word, to give you guys opportunity to get in small groups, to get with these leaders, to ask questions, to be held accountable, to dive in and be the body of Christ together. We call this place, this is called Wake. Our junior high ministry, we call it Wake. Some of you guys coming in, you may be going, why in the world do they call it Wake? I'd come up here with a wakeboard too. I bet some of you 7th and 8th graders are probably going, why do you call it Wake? We just called it Wake. Maybe you think, you look at some, maybe somebody's wearing the old shirt and you see it like Jay Thompson here. Stand up, Jay. You can turn around. Maybe some of you look at it and you go, what's Quake? Well, I'll tell you, it's not Quake. We call it Wake. So we're glad that you guys are here. But let me tell you what Wake means, why we named it that, and what we're going to look at as we go forward into the year. Wake means this. I looked it up in the dictionary. It says, the track left by a moving body of fluid. Another definition is the course or path left by anything that has passed or preceded. So a wake is when something is moving. There's a change happening. You see a boat. You think of a boat that goes through the water, it leaves a path. It leaves this track behind it. And you know that a boat has been there. It also churns up the water and it makes a path that goes. It makes a way to follow. You see that it's been there. It's left by anything that has passed or preceded. We are the body of Christ. Christ has already gone ahead of us. Jesus Christ, God's one and only Son, has come to this earth. He gave his life up for you and for me. He laid it down on the cross. Some of you guys may have heard that before, and that's old news. Some of you guys may go, I have no idea what you're talking about. Guys, we are the representation of Jesus. We are the body of Christ, and we're going to learn more about that as we go on together. But Christ has laid that wake down so that we know how to follow him, so that we know the way that we're supposed to go, and we are to walk in that way with him. And then we also leave a wake. We also leave a wake behind us so people go, oh man, what is he doing? I want to do what he's doing. That looks fun. So you guys saw, we tooled around this week and we'd made a little wakeboard video. It was a blast. We're not as good as some of those other guys that you saw, but we're working on it. And we get back up and we try again. Who has ever tried to wakeboard before? Anybody in here gone wakeboarding? There's a lot of hands. That's good. If you didn't raise your hand, have you guys ever been to the lake before? You've been maybe pulled behind a tube. You've done something like that. Well, hopefully, even if you've never done some of those things, you see on this video what wakeboarding's about. If you were one of those that raised your hand and you've been wakeboarding before, who's ever tried to get in the water and their first time they're sitting there and they just smack flat on their face? Yeah, I did. Lots of hands. Yeah, it hurts, doesn't it? You're sitting in there and someone's like, hey man, yeah bro. Like one of these brosives, like, yeah bro, strap this on, get in the water. Here we go. I'm just going to pull you up. Okay, sweet. And you're done. Your head's killing you. You're done for the rest of the day. I think that's a lot like our Christian walk. Not our Christian walk, but maybe our pre-Christian walk. I think that's a lot of what we try and do. Because see, when you're wakeboarding, someone tells you, imagine with me if there's a little imaginary man up here. There's not. But if there's a little guy, he's sitting in the water with his feet up like this. And he says, okay, I'm ready to go. The boat starts pulling him. And if you guys have done it, you know this. You're sitting in the water and you think that you have to be the one that pulls you up. You're sitting down and you go, okay, I got to get up. So you start pulling on yourself and you fall flat on your face. And so if you've ever been a couple times, someone says, hey, you don't have to do it yourself. I'm in the boat. I'm going to give you that power. I'm going to pull you up. You just hold on. And you're like, no, that doesn't make sense. I'm sitting in the water. I've got to be pulled up. I'm going to do it. And he says, no, you keep doing that. You're going to fall time and time again. Let me do it. Trust in me. And you go, okay. And you hold on and you go. We think that we have to do it all the time. We think that we have to be the ones that clean ourselves up. We have to be the ones that save ourselves. We have to be the ones that go through life perfect. You don't. That's the good news. And Jesus tells us that. He gives us an example in his word. If you've got your Bible, you've got your phone, I'm going to take you somewhere. It's a totally different analogy, but it works perfect for where we're at. And I'm going to bring it back to the wakeboard analogy too and how we can see that. John 15, verses 4 through 9. I'm going to give you a second to go there. But Jesus tells us how that we can trust in him, ride in his wake, and he's going to show us the way we can go. Look it up in your Bible on your phone. You can also see it on the screen. It says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." There it is. "If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and withers. The branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. But if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love." Now guys, I'm excited because I know what this word abide means, and I'm excited to teach you what it is. Some of you may just go, "What is this word? I love everything else it's saying, but I don't know abide." Let me tell you, because it will change your life. It's changed mine. Abide, it means to dwell, to remain, endure, be present, to continue to be. It means to hold on, trust, ride right where he's taking you. Guys, we sit in the water just like a wakeboarder, and we think that we've got to be the one that pulls ourselves up. But God says, no, I've got an answer for you. His name's Jesus. Jesus has already done it. He's already gone before you. He's paved the way. He's making a wake. You just ride in it. You hold on for the ride, and you keep going. I'm going to do it in and through you. And how he tells us to do that? He says to abide in me. So guys, here's what he's saying. He's saying, if you will let me do the work, you're going to be okay. I've got everything covered. It's so important that it occurs 11 times in this chapter, that Greek word, that root word, abide, to remain, to stay connected to push on. 11 times in chapter 15. Jesus is speaking this. This little chapter of John 15 is in a succession, a bunch of different chapters where he's up. He's in the Last Supper. It's called the Upper Room Discourse. This is when Jesus is meeting with his disciples for the last time, and he says, "Hey, this is what I want you to do when I'm gone." He tells them, "I'm going to die, I'm going to rise again, and you're going to do even greater things than these." And they're going, no, you must be mistaken. You're a little tired, Jesus. It's late. Don't worry." And he goes, no, listen to me. Just as you're having a relationship with me now, for the rest of your lives and for eternity to come, abide in me, and I will abide in you. And then he says this. He goes on and he says, "Apart from me, you can do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing." Jesus says, "I'm the only answer." But guys, we go through life and we just go, no, you know what? I want to find life here. No, maybe this is going to give me happiness. Maybe if I buy my wake t-shirt today, maybe I'll be happy. Maybe if I have these clothes when I go to school, man, if only that guy was my friend, if only that guy was my boyfriend, man, I'd have it made. Jesus is saying, "Guys, I'm it. I'm the only answer, and I'm right in front of you, and I want to give you life and freedom. Abide in me. Because apart from me, you can do absolutely nothing." If you think of that grape analogy, he's the vine, we are the branches. Something that's not attached to the vine is going to wither away and die. And it says that even in this passage. If we are disconnected from God, we cannot grow in him. So go back to that wakeboard analogy. Here it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches." Basically, he's saying, you're sitting in the water, and he says, "Look, I'm the boat. Trust in me. I've got the power. I'm going to show you the way to go. I've got control. I'm going to get you out of whatever situation. I'm going to give you life and freedom and salvation. You don't have to do it because you can't. I watch you in that water. I watch you time and time again. I watch you hold on to that rope, and you try and pull yourself up, and you're so close, and you just hit your face. But he comes back around, and he picks you up again. But he says, hey, trust in me. I am going to do it. I've already done it. Jesus has already died on the cross for my sins and yours. He's paid for it. He's paved the way. He showed us the way to go. We just have to abide in him and walk in it. We cannot do it alone. So finally, we realize that we're ready for him to do it. We give him the thumbs up. There's a scripture that says that we can't do it alone either. It's Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. I don't have it on the screen, but if you're taking notes, write it down. This is a great one to memorize. Because guys, we are a culture that loves to do. We're a culture that says, man, if I do this, if I can only achieve here, if I get better grades, if I only make that touchdown, coach is going to see me. Man, if I only wore mascara, even though my parents don't let me, that guy would notice me. Whatever it is, we're a culture that loves to do. But Jesus again says, I've done it. Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. It says this. It says, for it is by grace, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Again, you can't do it. God's done it for you, and he is going to show you the way. You got to just keep following. I've got a buddy. You follow him, you enjoy the ride, you get going. I've got a buddy that we saw on the video here. He had the long hair. He was doing some of those flips. He's an amazing wakeboarder. His name's Mark Hager. He actually was a student, not where you sat, because we weren't in this building back then, but he was a student at Watermark. And he sat through. He was actually in a small group of a guy named Bron Brown. Some of you guys know him. And he was raised up just like you were. And guys, if we're looking at a room this big, there are some of you who are going to go on and you're going to believe in Jesus and you're going to keep following him and proclaiming his name. And there are some of you that won't. There are some of you that are going to just trickle off and go do your thing. Mark was one of those guys that said, man, this is real and I want it. My God is good. I'm going to live my life for Jesus. He's a pro wakeboarder. And he's amazing like you saw, but he lives his life to share the gospel to people through wakeboarding. And I asked him, I said, hey, I'm going to talk to these kids about wakeboarding. What should I tell them? And he said the same things. God's done it, but let me tell you this. He's given you a lifeline. He's given you a way to go. He threw it out to you. He gave you the rope so that you could stay connected with him. And guys, it's this right here. He gave you his word. He threw it out. He gave you scripture. Revealed himself to us through his word so that we can stay connected to him. The key to wakeboarding is the rope. If we got a boat and we're sitting in the water and that boat just goes, but we're not holding on to thing, we're dead in the water. We're just sitting there. But if we hold on to God's word, if we hide it in our hearts, if we study it, meditate on it, ask questions about it, challenge each other with it, if we're holding on, trusting that God's going to do it in and through us, man, we can go for days. You just hold on. That's the way you stay connected to God. So to recap, you got to trust in him. You got to let him do the work through you. You got to hold on to his word and know that's the way that you're going to stay connected to God. If you let go of that rope, you're going to stop going. You can coast maybe for a little bit, but you're not going to go any further. Hold on to him. And then what you need, if you're out there and you're just wakeboarding all by yourself on the water, it's not as fun. It's fun for a little while, but you want to share that. So guys, this is specific to a lot of you sixth graders, but seventh and eighth, if you're not in a small group too, guys, we want to get you in a small group. And it's not because we just want to have your info and annoy you with emails. We think that is the biggest vehicle for life change. All these kids, you heard them, seventh and eighth graders, cheering when we asked who's in a small group because they love it, because they are loved, because they've got friends around them who are riding in that boat with them, who are encouraging them to go on, to keep going, to pull them back up when they fall. That's why we're here. That's what community is. We want to be here to love one another, challenge one another, and pull each other up. So where are you today? Are you riding in the wake? There are a couple things I want to challenge you with. So, to repeat, so that you know when you come out of here, God's done it. Hold on to his word and do it with your buddies around you in a small group so they can lift you up. Maybe you're there. Maybe you're running hard. Maybe you're just riding that wake and you're going strong and you're excited for a new year. You've studied well over this summer. You're connected to God and you're ready to even take those big jumps. There's some of you guys in this room, you're sitting in the water. You got your life jacket on. Maybe you're prepared. You're here. You're here in the water. But you're scared to death. You've never made that commitment to live eternity with Jesus, to accept the gift of grace that he's given you, and to live life with him now. You're sitting there and you're scared to give that thumbs up because you're scared you're going to fall. You're scared that you can't do it. You're holding on to some sin. You're holding on to thinking that you have to be perfect. You don't. God is perfect, and he sent his son in his perfection to pay it for you. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. The wages of sin is death, but he's given it to us. That is his grace. And he says, the only way that you can be with me is if you believe in my son, and all you have to do is believe. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that he raised him from the dead, you will be saved. That's it. So if you're here and you've never done that, I pray you do. Because it is a fun ride. You don't have to do it yourself. Some of you guys, you've been riding with us for a long time. You've been holding on. You've been doing great. You're growing. You're doing awesome stuff. Maybe you went to some sweet summer camp this summer. Maybe Pine Cove or Sky Ranch. Can I get some whoops for maybe Pine Cove and Sky Ranch? Did somebody go there this summer? Yeah. So maybe you went to some awesome summer camp. Maybe some Canacuckers. I got any Canacuckers in here? Okay. So you had some really cool experience with God this summer. And for me, maybe that's like riding on the waves. You get a little ollie, you get a little jump, and you're like, oh man, I did that. That was awesome. And you kind of let go for a second. And you go, man, I'm doing it. I'm going. And then you realize you've just been riding on what you did. You're not really still connected. Some of you guys are still living off that camp high. Going, man, God, that was a great week with you. I'll tell you what. God wants to have that kind of week with you every week. All you got to do is abide in him. All you got to do is stay connected to his word. Live in community with other believers who are going to strengthen you and encourage you. Man, grab that rope and jump on. Because eventually, you may be riding and coasting for a little while, but eventually you're going to start to just sink. You're going to start to be stuck in the water all by yourself. You got to stay connected. You got to stay growing and keep charging. And then there's probably a third group of you in here. Maybe a little smaller, maybe not. A group that maybe you've been riding along to continue in the same analogy. You're riding along. You get comfortable. And you're just going and you think you got it. You get lazy. You're not as disciplined in the summer. You're not really paying attention and guarding your eyes, guarding your heart, whatever it is. And you fall flat on your face into sin. You take your eye off the prize. Jesus is enough. Something looks a little more, oh, well, cool, there's a little bird. We got to stay focused on Christ. And maybe you're hurting, your head's hurting, and you're like, oh my goodness, why did that happen? You're embarrassed. You're in shame. You don't have to be. Maybe you're sitting there and you're going, oh my gosh, I can't believe I did that. But guys, God's going to come back with that boat. He's already done it. He's already paid it for you. He is perfect, so you don't have to be, and he's going to pick you back up. So I beg you, jump back on with us. Others, maybe you're riding along, and there's a little log that you didn't see. There's a log in the water. Could be divorce. Could be just something happened to your brother or sister this summer. Could be your family's having financial struggles. Could be you're moving to a new school, and you're scared to death. Could be whatever it is in your life. Something that came up that you did not expect, and it made you fall, and you don't really want to get back up. I beg you, get back up with us, because it is a great ride, and we want to ride with you. So guys, regardless of where you are, I hope you know, Jesus is enough. He's the boat. He's the power that's taking you there. He's going to lead the way. Stay right there in that wake. It's safe. It may be hard. It may hurt sometimes. You're going to have a lot of work to do. You don't have to work for that salvation, but we do have to work so that we can grow in discipline. And next week, what we're going to look at is how we can get out of our comfort zone, how we can go and maybe even start jumping the wake, doing incredible tricks, even far better than things than Jesus ever did. He tells us we can in his word, and we're going to look at that together. So guys, I hope you're as excited as I am for this year. Ride with me. Ride in that wake. I want you to think as you go, are you riding in the wake? Which one are you? Are you still going strong, or are you just sitting there in the water? Jump back in with us, I beg you. Again, if you're not in a small group, we're going to have people over there, leaders at those tables. Give us your info. We'd love to get you plugged in. Let me pray for you and we'll head out. Heavenly Father, I thank you for these students. I thank you for the unbelievable privilege I have to just hang with them each week. I thank you for these leaders that are in this room with us and how they give of their time so that they can be the hands and feet of Christ and love on these students. I pray for them, Lord. I know that summer can be a long time. Summer can be a great time of rest. It can be also an awful time of just getting lazy and complacent and just comfortable. So, Lord, I pray that you challenge us with your word, with relationships. I pray that by our small groups and our leaders and our families that we can spur one another to love and good deeds, that we will continue to ride in your wake and follow where you are going. Because, God, you are amazing. You are our provider. You are in control, and we can trust you. I pray for those that are here that don't know you, Lord. I pray they will trust in you. I pray that they just believe and they will be with you forever and right now. And I pray for those that have been trusting for a long time, that they continue to grow, that they continue to push on, to abide in you. Lord, let us not just do great things, but let us abide in you in relationship, remain in you. Jesus, we love you. I thank you that you first loved us. In Jesus' name, amen.